Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, how's it hanging?
Happy Thursday. Hope you enjoyed a night of no real sports action.
Right.
Because we're getting a lot tonight.
We're getting everything back.
Yeah.
Couldn't have spread it out?
I'm good with it. Go back and forth.
Get the
clicker working again.
You know how down bad I was for any sporting events yesterday? I watched Stars Capitals.
I watched college basketball.
It was very boring.
Providence, UConn. UConn won in overtime.
Dallas took over the beginning of the game and then just like limited Washington for having any shot quality.
So neither of us saw what happened in St. Louis and Chicago live. We all have to find out about that later.
Yeah.
Or what was it? It was Jordan Binnington hiding?
No. Binnington was in. Not only does Binnington pull a Binnington and refuse to go out, but backup goalie Joe Hoffer is sitting behind the wall around the corner.
Just peeking out a little bit.
Peeking out a little bit like, I don't want to go in there. Are you kidding me? They're rank 7 on Binnington. I don't want to do any work.
This is not my job today.
I don't feel like doing any work today.
And I'm not getting cooked. Absolutely not.
And that's very real.
I love that for him. Tonight, Sabres at the Rangers. Looking to hopefully go 2 straight wins. They don't start a losing streak. Very good for them. We'll see if they can score a power play goal. That'd be sick. And then at 7:30, we've got Ole Miss-Miami as we get the semifinals underway in the college football playoff. What bowl game is this actually going to be? Is this going to be the Peach Bowl, Derek? Do we know? Yeah. I mean, we have to know. I just need to look it up now.
Well, now, yeah, that's what it is.
Fiesta Bowl is today. Peach Bowl is tomorrow. That's Oregon and Indiana.
Yes. What's the sponsors this year on these things?
My thing with Fiesta Bowl, it's always got to be Tostitos. Like, I don't care if it's not. But, like, I watched the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl with Texas and Michigan. I'm like, that doesn't fit at all. Somebody needs to talk to marketing.
They're both orange.
I mean, we're really reaching there. But, yeah, I guess it's true.
Hey, man, I stretched before I reached for that, okay?
But we got to talk to marketing.
We got to talk to marketing.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you, of course, by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We got our first Bills injury report yesterday. Rather lengthy, although it was a walkthrough. And to be fair, we've kind of been going through this throughout the later half of this season of just kind of playing out guys' injuries, keeping everyone healthy, keeping everyone as upright as possible. Josh Palmer, a little bit of a surprise addition on the injury report, but I did see Sal Camacho.
Not great.
No, not great. But Sal commented to a listener basically asking, like, did this happen in practice? And the answer is probably no, because if it did, Palmer would have been limited. So him not practicing was a late decision before practice. That could literally just be you played on the game on Sunday and a bunch of these other guys didn't. You get to sit down today. It's a walkthrough. We'll be fine. You'll be back on Thursday. We'll see again later today when the injury report does come out. But we're one day closer, and it's now actually starting to feel like we're getting there. Of course, for me and you, Derek, we do the show Tuesday through Thursday, so Thursday always, in a sense, for me, has that Friday feel.
It has a finality to it, of our week.
Yeah, and so for me now today, it does feel like we're sort of locking into this matchup.
Which is funny, because for me it's not.
Oh, right. Yeah,
I've got Saturday.
You've got Saturday still.
With this wackadoo behind the glass and Joe Cali.
I won't stand for wackadoo, all right? Watch yourself.
All right, well, I'll find 14 other indirect, charming insults.
I like the charming right in there. Yeah. Charming's in there.
Well, that's
good.
Why it's wackadoo.
That's good.
There's a little bit of a charm to it.
A lot of charm. I don't know what you're talking about.
But so for me, like,
you can't see his coiffed hair.
That's right. But for me, this is sort of like the last run here. And for most of this week, I've been going kind of back and forth about how I feel about the game as a whole. I think overall.
Yeah, yesterday before the show, you were kind of like not in a great place.
No. And I'll be honest, I've gone like kind of a 180 here. In part, a lot of it is to do with I think this is a bad matchup for the Bills, just in the sense of I think Jacksonville is the most complete team in the AFC. That does not mean that they are by far and away the best team in the playoff field, a great team even. We don't really know. They've played a lot of softer teams to finish out this year. With that all being said, I've listened and read a lot of kind of previews for this game. I like that I'm not alone in the sense that, at least nationally, it feels like most are picking this as like maybe the most intriguing game, maybe just outright the best game, maybe the most important game, what have you. But it all feels much more important than you would say Carolina and the Rams or Houston and Pittsburgh. Like, this game feels like the winner is going to really matter come 2-3 weeks from now when we're talking AFC, NFC Championship, and Super Bowl. Where I sit today, though, Derek, and 803-0550, the number to call, want to give your thoughts. If the Bills are to win on Sunday, what is going to be the major reason why? We know Josh Allen's going to be in there, and he might be the major reason why. But what are some of the other things that are going to point to for this Bills team getting a win?
And for me, the first place I'm going to stop at is the word stop. The defense doing what it does, getting timely stops, frustrating a team that probably has a lot more talent on the other side, and finding a way to keep yourself in a game. What has even happened in the playoff losses? Despite everything, outside of 13 seconds, they get a timely stop somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, matter of fact, even in 13 seconds, there is a stop in there.
It's not when you needed it, technically, but that's right, yeah.
Well, I mean, at any point in that game, you needed any sort of stop.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they did get one and limited Kansas City to a field goal. And, oh my goodness, the Bills are back into this thing. Because it was later on, too. If it was a touchdown, the Bills are down 10.
Right.
So, no. Not always the way that it has to go. I think it is that. That's part of the recipe for how they've won all year. The defense makes the timely stops when they need to. And the offense is keeping pace. Or, even in the losses, it has been, we're trying everything we can. And it's just the other side of the football is not getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it is the defense just has to do more of the same of what we've seen this year. And when I say that, that might scare some people contextually. But I'm still at, okay, hey, this is the opportunity. You are playing an offense that has been fantastic. Travis Etienne has rather justified his draft status. Trevor Lawrence has been playing one of his better years in his career. But that said, you could still bother Trevor Lawrence. You could still get some bad plays out of him. And then you've got to deal with the wide receiver trio there of Jacoby Myers, Brian Thomas, and Parker Washington. You're banged up. Everybody's kind of counting you for dead again on the defensive side of the ball. Can the duct tape defense, trademark pending, give me a couple more stops?
I think really for them it's going to be, can they just keep it going?
Yes.
The second half of the year, there have been some real bright spots. It's been frustrating at times in many of these losses where you'd love to bang the drum for the defense. Philadelphia, I think, is chief among them. The second half for Atlanta kind of starts the run of it. But I know Sneaky Joe put out this morning like how well they've done against rushing attacks recently. They've done exceptionally well against many, maybe not top-tier running backs outside of Saquon Barkley, but starting running backs, they've done very, very well. It's the number one secondary in the sport. They play cover two a lot, especially that two high safety. I think this is where I'm going with it, Derek, and it kind of is conjoined with yours because of the side of the ball that McDermott deals with the most, defense. And Bill's Chat Podcast quote tweeted my tweet as well, and we're kind of in the same vein with this. It's the McDermott game. Coaching needs to be the Bills' advantage this weekend. I think that's 100% right. I think this needs to be a game where on Monday or Sunday night, whenever we want to talk about it, we all sit back and go, that was one of McDermott's best playoff games. We can't sit here and go, he did it again. We can't have another chapter to the playoff botches by the coaching staff. It's not all on McDermott. I'm not saying right. It is. But he is the leader of that troop. He's got to get it done. And when I look at a rookie head coach making his playoff debut, I'm looking at a quarterback that, while is on a hot streak, has not necessarily had a lot of consistency
in
that
his career.
Guy. And I am looking at a team that is weathered, that has been there before. I think it has to be McDermott. I think it has to be him. I can, in some confidence, assume Allen is going to have a very good game. To some confidence. And I can assume that to some confidence, James Cook will have a pretty good game. I need something from McDermott to confuse a quarterback who is not in the playoffs very much, who is sort of on a hot streak and is kind of testing it a little bit. He is throwing deep a lot. He is playing a little bit with fire, and he's doing it well. I'm not saying that is a negative to Trevor Lawrence at all, but he is doing it well. But he's still playing with a little bit of fire. And I listened to Trevor Sikkema's breakdown on this game, and even he kind of acknowledged that of like, can this run keep going, though? Are we sure that is sustainable? Because you're playing with fire a little bit there. That's where I think for me the biggest matchup is going to come down to is, can Sean McDermott flex that he is one of the better coaches in football, that he is, in fact, working really well with, in many ways, a duct tape defense? Or are we going to be coming in Sunday night for post game, Monday night, or Monday morning, breaking it down, going, yeah, the head coach maybe failed him again.
And there's more pressure on it this time. Obviously, it's not going to make much of a difference right now, but when I say that, I do mean John Harbaugh's on the market. Kevin Stefanski's on the market. These are guys that are big names that ultimately I do think John Harbaugh needed to go. However, I do also think that Stefanski was mistreated by the Browns organization.
Yeah.
I think he's a better coach than his record because I do not know how Andrew Berry got retained as general manager there. Here, let me give out the historically worst contract in football history. Good luck winning with this, Kevin. Also, the quarterback's bad.
Yeah, the only way I can justify him being fired is if he was also in on Watson. He was like, yeah, get him here.
Yeah, unless that was the case. Way. But then, ready? You don't have any part in the decision on the quarterback.
No.
Quarterback set.
Yeah.
You're actually all good there, as a matter of fact. But I've seen him take a Baker Mayfield-led Cleveland team and even a Joe Flacco-led team to the playoffs. He's not a total dunce.
No. I mean, for all the issues he's had in the last few years, especially like these blown leads, what have you. No, you're right. I mean, he has been able to win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, although they had a rough period.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Stefanski, not Harbaugh.
Oh, Stefanski.
So, but yeah, Stefanski's not a total dunce.
No.
And if you asked me if Stefanski would be available on these sorts of questions, well, I wouldn't have known that, actually. I would have wondered if they kept Stefanski over Berry, because I would have.
Mm-hmm.
But now there are names available that I wouldn't have suspected, because that's how this season went. I mean, Stefanski, Browns losing, it should have, and that's on me. But then there's Harbaugh, guy who coached for Baltimore for 18 years. He has won a Super Bowl, as you mentioned, with Joe Flacco. Interesting, the connection. The guy has had solid seasons. He's also been one of the keys of mismanagement where I think that he is the coach that a lot of McDermott blind haters think he is. I think that's John Harbaugh. I don't want anything to do with John Harbaugh because I have a better version of John Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. Even if there's another playoff loss added in here, even if it's the first one and done in McDermott's Buffalo, well, the second.
First one since 2019.
First one since this team got to where it is, I should say, in this version of them. I need to learn how to count. But I've got better John Harbaugh. That's a downgrade.
We'll see. I think this is going to be sort of his moment. And you're hearing it, too, with all the pressure. No one's really putting it on Allen. Like, if you have noticed that, it's not – it is and it isn't. It's more, I know he's going to be very good, and he's got to rise to the occasion. I think in reality a lot of it is on McDermott. I'm excited to see what he can do. There's been talks endlessly about how much he's improved as a coach. He is aggressive, and he has learned from the mistakes. Let's see. You've got a rookie head coach in his debut playoff game. against a quarterback that, while not young, is inexperienced in these moments? What do you have?
And a quarterback who, when he's bad, he's bad.
When he's bad, he's bad. I mean, even in his one playoff win, he throws four picks in that game.
Right.
803-0550, the number two call. We'll go to the phones. Alan's up first this segment. Alan, how we doing?
Hey, good morning again, guys. I just wanted to say one thing, too. As the week goes on, I'm feeling more and more confident. I'll tell you why. Number one, I think the betting money, and I'm not a gambler much, but the betting money has stayed even the whole week. And the Bills are a road team. I liken this game back to the Patriots. And I know you could say there's difference. I just think the Patriots are a better team than the Jags. And when we were going into that game, all we heard about was Vrabel is coming off a bye. He hasn't lost. They're on an 8-game winning streak. Oh, my gosh, it's in New England. There's not going to be many Bills fans there because they don't sell their tickets. They're on fire. May's on fire. And, yes, they got off to a fast start, but look what happened. And I look at this game. I think one of the big X factors in this game is going to be the crowd. I think there's going to be at least 20 to 25,000 Bills fans there. I see it all over Twitter. Don't sell your tickets to Bills fans. And I see more and more offering $800-900 a seat. And how could people turn that down? That's what Jags fans are saying. But anyway, my point, too, is – I just think it's going to come down to Allen. If you look at Trevor Lawrence, his completion just is a slightly over 60%. Even through that 6-8-game win streak, he's thrown some bad balls. And 60% is not that good nowadays in the NFL. That's below average. I think, what is it, 64% is average now? And that's going to come down big. And I think you're going to see Joey Bosa, just like in a couple games against New England and against Cleveland, where he came up with those big plays and Rousseau, I think that's going to present, because I don't think Trevor's super tall, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's 6'6". He's huge, yeah.
Pardon me?
Trevor Lawrence is huge. He's 6'6".
Okay, that's right. I'm sorry. I keep picturing Tua because it's in the same place, but similar places. But my only concern is this, and I don't know if you guys brought this up. Prater says he's healthy. I get that. He wants to play. If on a kickoff he has a quad soreness or something and he can't kick a 27-yarder to win a game, what are we going to do? I mean, I trust McDermott in this game, and I think that's another X factor. I think his experience is going to shine. But my biggest fear is, what if on a kickoff we get these 35-yard line four times because Matt Wright or whatever his name is can't get it to where he wants, and it goes in the end zone, and they just say, well, we'll take it at the 35. I think I don't want this to come down to a 24-24 game, and we need a 32-yarder, and Ray Davis has to kick it. I mean, he might make it, actually, but that's my only concern. Other than that, I think the Bills win this 30-20. That's my pick. I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Take care.
Alan, thanks for the call. On the kicker point, because we haven't really brought it up too much, I wouldn't play Prater. I feel for him. It sucks that the quad has just continued to be an issue for him.
It is that it popped back up.
And that's for me where it's like, dude, we literally can't have a situation where we had it with the Jets game, where it just popped up. That game, it's fine.
We were lucky that it was the Jets.
And we weren't really playing for much. The backups are mainly in cool. Like, we can't have that. Matthew Wright's in. He's far younger. Fine percentages, it's right around.
You also cannot have a situation where you are not able to call up another player on another position because you have to have two kickers at the ready.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. For me, I would just, Matthew Wright, one kicker, that's who it's going to be. Prater, we'll talk about next week.
Right, or even worse, not having a game day jersey.
Not even having,
That's the thing. Like, having the call-ups is one thing. The game day jersey. It's got to be right.
Well, yeah, and especially, too, I can't imagine, and it's always a possibility, but I could not imagine dressing two kickers with the fear that maybe Prater. That's where I would also go, like, that's coaching malpractice. Just go with the one. Go with the one you just picked up. It is what it is. You've had to deal with it all year. And you know what? Maybe it forces you to be more aggressive. I'd love if the Jags got into a thing where Cam Little can hit 60-yard field goals, so we're going to go for those more and not go for touchdowns. I'd love that scenario.
But the thing is, and this is where I've gotten to about the field goal situation, or the kicker situation, excuse me. Don't leave it up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever it may be. Don't leave it up to him. If you have the coaching acumen that we seem to think that you do not leave it up to the kicker here.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll take one more call here before our first timeout. Steven is up next. Steven, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How about yourselves?
Doing well.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, before I get to my point about the game Sunday, I just want to ask, have either of you guys ever heard of a movie that came out in 2001 called Second String?
No.
Can't say that I have.
Okay, look that up on YouTube. It's about the Buffalo Bills. It actually has Doug Flutie and Thurman Thomas and Mike Ditka and the voice of the Bills, Van Miller. It's a great movie. So it stars John Voight and Gil Bellows. It's a really great movie. You'll enjoy that. So the thing I wanted to say about this game, I keep hearing about how the Jaguars have the number one run defense. Okay, that may be so. But I'm hearing, so, you know, there's hesitance about whether the Bills should really focus on running the ball on them. But look, the Bills are the number one running offense in the league. They have the rushing king, James Cook. That's exactly why they need to run on this team. Just run it down their throats and establish the run game to prove that there's a superior team. And I think the way this game fans out for the Bills rushing-wise is going to, you know, end up showing, you know, whether the Bills are going to win this game. And I'm confident they're going to beat them because that way they can establish, you know, as you know, play action. And plus, Josh Allen, he's probably the most mobile quarterback. He's the number one player in the league. So I want to see the Bills really do a good job running the ball on this team and proving that they can beat them. Because my understanding is I don't think they've allowed any running back to run for more than like 75 to 80 yards this season. And I think Cook is, you know, able to run way more than that. He's proven that. So, you know, I want to see the Bills just go out and really establish the run game. They've got an elite, you know, front line too, the offensive line. So, and you know, the way the tight ends can block and the, even the wide receivers, I have no doubt Buffalo can go out there and establish themselves for what they do best and then win this game big time and move on to the divisional round.
Steven, thanks for the call. I it's going to be a hard test for Cook. I mean, this is a team that went up against Jonathan Taylor multiple times, and we're also able to handle him. He's one of the best backs in football. I do like the idea, though, of opening up the play-action game. I think Brandon Cooks really could be something for the Bills. Kincaid being healthy up the middle of the field could be huge for them as well. They're healthy on offense. I think that's going to be a huge factor in this game. And we've seen the numbers. When Kincaid's in versus when he's out, I love what Cook can do. I think Cook maybe more could open up the game, though, for Kincaid.
Hey, you know what? I'm here for attack a team's strengths because they won't expect it.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. Bills win on Sunday. What do you think is a major reason why? We'll keep taking your call.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Calls as we go on throughout the morning. But coming up next, after a quick timeout, Sal Capaccio joins the show for the latest on the Bills. We got our first injury report yesterday for both Bills and the Jags. We'll get his thoughts on all of that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on a very sunny Thursday morning. Breaking news before we get to Sal Capaccio, and I am going to want to get his thoughts on this right away because it just happened moments ago. Adam Schefter tweeting out, Dolphins have fired head coach Mike McDaniel. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, I mean, just immediate thoughts on this.
I wonder if John Harbaugh being available had anything to do with this, because as of a couple days ago, it seemed like Mike McDaniel was safe.
Yep. And remember, we talked about this yesterday with Harbaugh, where his, you know, the first report was he's actually been talked to by more teams than there were head coaching opportunities.
Right. Now, that doesn't guarantee that he would go there, but Yeah, I mean, well, Jim was a Michigan guy. Stephen Ross, I believe, is a Michigan guy. Might be a tie-in there, but you can connect dots. Either way, I do wonder if that had anything to do with it. You know, we always knew that McDaniel was on a bit of a shakier ground, but I think once we got through a few days and he did a press conference, it felt like they were going to keep him. Now, that being said, they're also interviewing GM candidates, right?
Yes.
So, because they're interviewing GM candidates, you wonder if candidates said, look, if I'm coming in here, you got to give me a right to have my own coach. I'm not coming in here being saddled. So Stephen Ross has to then pivot and go, all right, well, I guess I have to do that to give more prospective GMs an ability to want this job.
And you know what? And bringing it back to now Jacksonville Jaguars, who the Bills are playing, how they get Liam Cohen? They ultimately have to fire Trent Baalke. I mean, it takes the one candidate and then they move on. But Sal, I think you're probably onto something there where maybe in the early hearings, they're finding out a bunch of guys are like, I'm not hitching my wagon to a guy that might be out next year. I think there's absolutely something to that.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see. I don't really know. Like, I mean, obviously we could speculate all day until we hear from Stephen Ross what actually spurred it on, but obviously a new coach coming in the AFC East.
Mike McDaniel, yeah, out as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Now, though, to the Bills and the Jaguars. Sal, we got our first injury report yesterday. Was a walkthrough, but boy, it was a lengthy one.
Yeah, for sure. So the big news yesterday, I think, is Matt Prater still not kicking, but him talking to the media after and saying he feels confident that he'll get a good weekend and then he'll be ready to go on Sunday. But he still has to do that. He has to kick today. We'll see about tomorrow. Josh Allen is on the injury report, but really good news is full participant yesterday. No practice yesterday for linebacker Terrell Bernard or linebacker Matt Milano. Now, Milano is sick, so let's hope he's back at practice today. I'll be down there in a little while. We'll find out a little bit later this afternoon. Bernard's still dealing with a calf injury. That's a bit problematic because Shaq Thompson is still limited with the neck injury that he had from a few weeks ago. So you're a little banged up and have an illness at linebacker. Hopefully everything starts to settle in today. Ty Johnson didn't practice yesterday with an ankle injury he suffered during the game. And I'll let you remember, in the game, he came back in. He actually scored a touchdown after that. But, you know, you go back in the locker room the next day, you could have problems swelling up, whatever. So we'll see how he gets through the rest of this week. And then Joshua Palmer was the one that we didn't know about, and then all of a sudden he showed up as a DNP on the injury report. So again, what's going on there? Was it something where they just felt, okay, let's back off on him because he played on Sunday, he'd been dealing with the ankle injury, or is this something where it is another issue because the ankle isn't quite right? And today will tell us a lot more. Several guys are limited, including DeMar Hamlin, who was his 21-day window to play was open. So he doesn't count on the roster right now, but if they wanted to, they could activate him by Saturday at 4 p.m. And that, you know, could happen depending on other things around the roster, but doesn't appear that they have any issues at safety right now other than Jordan Poyer, who was also limited, but that's good news with the hamstring injury because he hadn't played in a few weeks.
Sal, when it comes to the linebacker position, Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano both show up there as DNPs, and I do wonder, especially with Shaq Thompson limited, they might be really running a little thin here potentially against Jacksonville with the linebacking situation.
Yeah, but like I said, I think as long as Matt Milano's not super sick, I wouldn't think he'd miss the game. And you know, hopefully he's back today. He has an illness, is why he missed yesterday. But I do think you have to account for both Shaq and Terrell dealing with injuries at the middle spot. You do have Dorian Williams; he can play both spots. Joe Andreessen actually started last game, so they could be a little thinner. I wouldn't be surprised to see Keyonte Jenkins or Baylen Spector elevated for this game because what happens is, even if guys are healthy enough to play, you don't maybe want to put their full plate on special teams and things like that, and then you need somebody for special teams. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes today. I wouldn't be too worried about linebacker right now. I think today would be a key day. And even if Terrell Bernard can't go this week, then I do think you're probably looking at Jenkins or Spector probably elevating up for the game because, again, then Joe Andreessen essentially becomes your backup middle linebacker. You don't want to have to be in a position where if something happened to Shaq Thompson, then you're without Andreessen on special teams as well.
A position fans might be worried about, though, Sal, and I might's probably a weak word for that, probably are worried about, is kicker. Matt Prater, not practicing yesterday, but he did talk to the media, and he seemed pretty confident in his ability to play on Sunday, though. I don't know if I would roll that dice, Sal. Where do you sit with Prater in the kicking game?
Well, it's going to be interesting over the next couple of days what happens. As I said, he said he's confident he'll get through a couple of days here, and he feels like that's trending that way. He did use the word precautionary when we asked him what happened Sunday, which is encouraging, meaning, you know, he said it did stiffen up on him, the right quad, Sunday's game, because of the cold and all that. Excuse me. He said you know, he's confident that, you know, he'll do all that, but it's also not his choice, right? I mean, like, at the end of the day, the trainers and doctors are also going to kind of evaluate, see where he is, and all of that. Now, let's just say he gets through the week and he does kick well. The Bills feel confident. I still think you have to consider the fact that what happens if something happens to him Sunday during the game. Now, unless the Bills are super confident that he's going to be fine, nothing's going to happen, they might want to elevate Matthew Wright from the practice squad. They might even want to have him active and have two kickers active on Sunday. I don't know, guys. There's a lot to be decided here. You only get two elevations. You only get 48 spots on game day. So, you know, it's just, as we sit here now on Thursday, there's just a lot of speculation. We just don't know the answers to yet.
Right, and then this stuff we'll be able to find out, what is it, Saturday at 4 p.m. is when we'll have a better idea. Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, looking to the Jaguars, I was listening to Trevor Sikkema, part of his breakdown of this matchup over on PFF, and he was bringing up Trevor Lawrence and obviously how well he has been playing up to this point, but it's also been to a certain extent because he is just taking more and more risks. Like, he is really playing with fire a little bit here. And I do wonder if this is a matchup the Bills can exploit. Of course, they come into this game with the number one ranked secondary. Cole Bishop has really ascended into, I think, probably a player that most Bills fans trust, where if you look back at the start of the season, he had maybe the biggest question mark surrounding him. This is a matchup, and me and Derek were talking about it. You know, if the Bills win on Sunday, what's a major reason? I look at McDermott. You know, could this be a game where he could really put his stamp on it and, you know, go to town on essentially a quarterback who has not been in these situations much and a debut rookie head coach in the playoff?
I agree. I think this is a really big moment for the Bills defense, their staff, going against this particular quarterback who's playing really well right now. You have a very good offensive mind on the other side in Liam Cohen. They have played against Trevor Lawrence, but he's not in those games previously been playing anywhere close to the level he's playing right now. Obviously a different coaching staff, different system. They do a lot of really good things on that side of the ball. It's almost a really no-win situation in a lot of ways for the Bills this week, guys, which is, you know, they're supposed to be here. They're supposed to beat the Jaguars. If they don't, the season's a major failure. If they do, it's like, oh, well, you're supposed to do that anyway. Whereas on the other side, the Jags, they necessarily weren't supposed to be here with a first-year head coach. They have everything to gain, nothing to really lose. If they lose, it's like, oh, you lost to Josh Allen and the Bills? Okay. If they win, it's like, oh, my God, here we go. Look what this team's doing. It's found money. So I do think from that aspect of it, that's a tough spot to be in. But at the same time, I do think Sean McDermott is still one of the better defensive minds in all of football. Now, I know his defense has been leaky against the run, and we can point to this being wrong or that being wrong and what happened in games past. I get it. I'm just saying, building a game plan, trying to stop another team's best weapons, I think he's been very good at that. The Bills haven't been beaten necessarily by, like, number one wide receivers a lot this year. When they've gone against really good run teams, sure, volume might be there, but they've done a good job in spots where they've had to shut down, like a Saquon Barkley in a situation. When they played Carolina and those guys were really rolling, they did a good job. So it's a test this week. I think the biggest test is not just Lawrence, it's how well balanced this offense is for the Jaguars. They can run the ball really well, and when they do, and look, when I say run the ball really well, a lot of times it's staying ahead of things. No, they're not a team that's going to rely on the run. They're going to rely on the pass. But if they can start to run the ball well, which the Bills obviously have been bad against this year at times, that's when Lawrence really gets unlocked. They can run play action off that, and then you really get in a bind.
Sal, I'm glad that you mentioned it. They do tend to go by the pass. I think the big matchup that I'm looking at here is Taron Johnson has not had the season of his usual standards, and Parker Washington has really come on a lot for Jacksonville. While there's been a lot of public praise, especially by the head coach, about Jacoby Myers in that receiving core, I think that that's probably the matchup I'm looking at the most, is Taron Johnson and Parker Washington.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup. He's fast. He's good. I mean, they really found something there. And what really happened here with Jacoby Myers adding in, everybody's kind of fit in their roles a little bit better on that side of the ball for Jacksonville, right? Jacoby Myers has kind of allowed everybody like Parker Washington to flourish. And even Brian Thomas Jr., who's been much better, really, the second half of the year since that. You know, when the Jags lost Travis Hunter, it's obviously terrible, and you don't want to see that. And Travis Hunter's such a dynamic, fun player to watch. But it forced them to go out and try and, you know, do something different, add to the group. They added Jacoby Myers, and it's really worked out well for them. Not the injury necessarily, but the fact that they had to pivot a little bit and figure out another way to do it. And I give them a lot of credit for that. So it is a really tough matchup. It's a good matchup. You know, I just think they have a lot of different weapons. You have to figure out how to cover. And if you can get pressure on Lawrence, the other thing the Jags do, guys, is it's kind of the McVay-Goff thing when they were together. Like, Liam Cohen talks to Lawrence up till 15 seconds left in the play clock, and he'll give him the answers to what he's seeing on the other side. Mm. And I think there's a counter to that, though. The Bills know that. The Bills can see that happening. The Bills can try and switch stuff up, switch things up. But if they see something they really like, they'll get into that play. And, you know, that's a cat and mouse game that's going to be played on Sunday.
I'm also curious, too, you know, getting pressure on Lawrence. Him and Allen have essentially taken the same sacks. I think Lawrence has taken 41, Allen's taken 40. It should be noted, though, in the last three games, Lawrence has taken at least two or more sacks. It's not everything, but I think stops are going to be at a premium in this game, or it could be huge in this game. Maybe not necessarily turnovers the way he's playing, but I think it could be big. And that's been a problem for this team in the postseason, Sal. I think there's a number of these Kansas City games in the playoffs they would have won if they could have just gotten a sack or two on Mahomes.
Oh, of course, right? That's been the thing we've really lamented here in Buffalo in the playoffs, is what's held the team back has been the question in the last few years in the playoffs. And I think the first answer you normally get to is they just didn't get to the quarterback. They didn't get to Mahomes. That's why they went out and signed Von Miller. That's why they went out and signed Joey Bosa, which, by the way, Joey Bosa on the injury report, but, you know, it's good news. He's hamstring. I think he was full. I have to go back and look at it.
Useful person.
You know, they've I think, done a – you know what I was thinking about, guys, today? Remember when they signed Joey Bosa and everyone said, just put him in bubble wrap for the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Well, here we are. We're in the playoffs, and yes, he does have the hamstring, but it's kind of gone that way where, yeah, he did have a little bit of an issue, the hamstring later in the year, and that was like, oh, my God. But now it's playoff time, and he didn't play last week. Now you need a guy like Joey Bosa, and exactly to your point.
Right, and that's why he signed him. Sal, last thing here before we let you get ready for practice today, and of course tomorrow you'll have Sean McDermott on this show as well to kind of get a bit of a update as we head into the weekend. But tonight we do have some important football, the college football playoff. Going to be locked into Miami or Ole Miss?
So tonight, yes, I will watch some of that. Tomorrow is my wife Yana's birthday.
Okay.
So she is headed, we will not be around tomorrow. She's headed out of town to visit her mom. So tonight we're having a birthday dinner. So I do not want to be focused on the game while we're at birthday dinner. That would not be good husband.
There you go. That's right.
A good husband thing to do. But you know what? We'll be done with dinner and home and watching the game for sure. So yeah, I am going to be dialed in on that. Sabres Rangers tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm excited right now. Every time the Sabres game on, I'm kind of making sure that I see all of that. I think I like Ole Miss tonight because I love the story, but nice. I think I might be going with my heart and not my head because Miami's playing really good football right now. Mm-hmm. But man, this Shambliss kid is really good. Love watching him play, you know? And their running back is special. They have, it's just that whole story and Lane Kiffin, and not to get into all that, but how can you not root for these guys, right? But should be fun tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Miami
right
now.
And I like Indiana tomorrow, too. And I hate saying that. My brother actually got his PhD from the University of Oregon. He's a Duck. He loves the Ducks. So I wouldn't mind seeing Oregon win. I just think Indiana is a special team this year.
We've got multiple just incredible stories that are documentary worthy, and only one of them is going to be able to raise the trophy at the end. Sal, we'll let you get out of here. Thanks for jumping on us, and we'll talk again soon.
You got it, man. Thanks.
Thanks,
Sal
guys.
Camacho,
thanks,
there.
Sal.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I'm still here.
Thanks, guys.
Sal Camacho there on the West Her Hotline. We'll also get a bit of a Bandits talk in as well. John Gertler is going to join the show at 11:30. We'll take a quick time out here when we come back. We'll keep taking your calls, hitting your tweets up as well. If the Bills win on Sunday, what is the major reason why? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Hour number one rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
One might even say wrapping up.
Wrapping up, that's right. But the end of hour number one.
So,
been flying.
Before I failed at English at the end of that segment.
It's a hard language, sorry.
I was going to name you all of the bowl sponsors for the throughout the college football playoff.
You're going to tell me Tostitos is not the Fiesta Bowl, and I'm going to get upset.
Oh, it's not even close.
Damn.
It's not even food.
That's incorrect.
It's the Verbo Fiesta Bowl tonight.
Nope. What's the Peach Bowl tomorrow? Do you have that?
Chick-fil-A.
That is so much better. All right, yes, they've kept that one. Good. Okay, we're fine.
That one's fine.
Okay.
The Capital One Orange Bowl.
Oh, my mood is way better now.
The Rose Bowl presented by Prudential. That one, I think they did it smart by saying the sponsor afterward.
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
The All-State Sugar Bowl. I think that one's been like that for a while now.
Yes.
And the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic.
I think that one's been like that for a while, too.
Yeah,
okay.
But yeah, there you go. The Verbo Fiesta Bowl.
All right, I still have
just
my college football.
Just to make your stomach churn there.
I still have my college football to a certain extent. 803-0550, the number to call. The Bills win on Sunday. What is the major reason why? We'll go back to the phones here real quick before we take our next timeout. Billy is up first this segment. Billy, how we doing?
How you doing, guys? Listen, I gotta disagree with the last caller where he says we want to run the ball down their throats. I totally disagree. Look, this quarterback for Jacksonville hasn't been good since his first year in the league, his first year with Clemson. He's been, as far as I'm concerned, a major disappointment. And I know, yeah, I get it. He's played good the last 8 or 9 games. But I'm telling you, all these quarterbacks become good once they start running again. We take the run away from this guy, and we make him pass the football. He's going to do something stupid like he's done his whole career. And that's the way I think we attack them on the defensive side of the ball. As for the offense, I've said this a million times calling, you know, Sal or calling you guys or whoever. We have got the best quarterback left in – well, we got the best quarterback in the league. And the three teams that are supposed to be our, you know, New England, Houston, and this Jacksonville team, it is a total mismatch. And I know May's going to win MVP probably. I'll take Josh over any one of them, and this is where I'm going with this. I don't want to see us running the damn ball to try and establish the run. Mm-hmm. I want to see play action, 15, 20 plays, play action, and let Josh take it over. Josh is going to beat them by himself if we let him do it. If we're going to try and run the ball and get down 14-0 like we had the last 7 or 8 weeks against every team except for the Jets last week, we're going to be in trouble. Look, this has got to be about Josh and then the run. Once the linebackers and their secondary start seeing that we're play actioning, that will open up our run game later on. But let's let Josh be Josh. Josh should get us to this. I don't care about our defense or our offense. We've got to out-slug teams, and we've got the best team and the best quarterback in the league to do this. Let Josh take this over, and I'm going to tell you guys, we're winning the damn Super Bowl. It's that simple.
Billy,
all right, Billy.
Good vibes. I will say, I agree on the Allen point. You want to let him be playoff Allen. I get worried if he has the tools to do it.
I'm not necessarily worried
I like the tight ends, but I'm hoping Brandon Cooks, they've unlocked something there. I don't know if they have.
Ready? Here's what I want. Balance. I don't need to go run heavy. I don't need to go pass heavy.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
How they've won this year has been balance. Sean McDermott, after the Carolina game where they run for like
200 yards.
I think it was like 240 yards.
James Cook alone ran for 200 yards.
Like as a team, they run for like 240 yards or something like that. Sean McDermott immediately goes, I want to have more balance in this game. After a beatdown win, I want to have more balance in this offense. I'm with the coach here. I want balance. You can get away with it, and the Bills have played their best offensively typically when they have that balance, when they do have a run game to make sure that that play action is a credible threat. And you know what also helps? Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Kincaid's healthy, their offense looks different. By the way, you did bring up a really good point on the rushing attack from Trevor Lawrence. He leads that team in rushing touchdowns with 9. So when he gets on the move, he is a rushing threat.
And that's going to turn into pass rush.
Mm-hmm. Finish.
Finish, which has always been my biggest gripe about them. Oh, yeah, pressure rate. Great. Finish the play.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll keep taking your calls here as we cruise along here on a Thursday morning. If the Bills win on Sunday, what is the biggest reason why, or one of the biggest reasons why? John Galler coming up at 11:30 for a little bit of Bandits talk as well. Keep on rolling here after a quick timeout. You're listening to WGR.